Yeah. Well, good morning, guys. Wow, we're coming to the end of the summer nearly, huh? Amazing. I didn't get done nearly what I wanted to get done, but that's all right. Summer. But I just want to say, Psalm 149, let me t make this real. This is one of the most controversial psalms that David wrote. And I mean, it's got one that you really, really have to, how do I say this, digest in such a way that it's pretty much for believers, because last verse in the nine verses that are written there is, this is an honor to all his saints. So it's pretty much designed for believers. So I'm going to read it, and when I'm going to read the whole, all nine verses, and when I do, I'm going to take apart some of these verses in such a way that you could study what I'm talking about. Okay, Psalm 149. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, and I'm doing that for a purpose. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Praise him in the assembly of his saints. Let Israel rejoice in him, their maker. Let Zion's children triumph and be joyful in their king. And then he's got a reference here for Zechariah 9:9 and Matthew 21. We'll visit those. Let them praise his name in chorus and choir, and with the single of group dance. Let them sing praises to him with the tambourine and lyre. I don't know today. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble and with salvation, and adorn the wretched with victory. Adorn the wretched with victory. Try to pull that one apart. Let the saints be joyful in the glory and beauty. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and a two-edged sword in their hands, and a two-edged sword in their hands to wreak vengeance upon the nations and chastisement upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. He, the Lord, is the honor of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, after reading that psalm, you have to just really come before the Lord and ask him, what is he trying to say? It's the last five of the 150 collected songs begin and end with the phrase, praise the Lord, and expressed in song. Well, I just wrote a new song. I'm not going to sing it for you, but if you guys want to hear it, send me an email. I'll put in an email to you. It's called Bring It All to Me. That's the name of my song. New song. Okay. I've got several quotes here from Spurgeon. He is ever new in his manifestations. His mercies are new every morning. His deliverances are new in every night of sorrow. Let your gratitude and thanksgiving be new also. That's a quote from Spurgeon, and one of my favorites. And his praise in the assembly of saints is a wonderful for the individual saint to offer praise to God. It is even better and greater to do so in the assembly of saints. The community of God's people makes praise all the richer, especially praise offered in song. Now, that's probably a section of my life right there, 1976, 1989, where I was a part of the Christian Community of God's Delight in Dallas, Texas. And they didn't have pianos. 1500 people. And I walked in and I sat down and I said, we don't have a piano player. So I knew what it was to be in the community of believers. And oh my goodness, here is 1500 Roman Catholics all born again. And I mean, they all got their arms in the air. Roman Catholics. So they were the community of God's delight. And they were wonderful people. And I learned what it meant to walk in the Spirit. And I learned what it meant truly be a Christian with the things that will make a Christian a Christian, And the important thing is that it is coming out of, in my case, I had to come out of ritualistic worship and go into a personal relationship of worship. Boy, that's the difference between Christianity and the traditional denominational, where it's, I mean, I see my sister and my brother-in-law go to Mass and receive communion, and then they come home and then live the life they live, and then they go to receive Mass and communion. For them, that's their Christianity. Just don't pick him off. Because inside of that man are something that needs to be dealt with and never has been. But the important thing is that I have to, when I get down to the end of this psalm, you need to understand, you guys, if I could get any more emphatic about this, I would. The psalm speaks for itself. Because when it says here to execute the vengeance, you guys need to understand the most important thing that I'm getting out of this psalm, and I hope you're getting it too. What did Jesus do to get rid of the devil and to completely make him useless and of none effect? How did he do that when he was out in the desert?
If you rebuke him with the word of God.
Yes, saying the three words. That's it. That is. It is written. It is exciting to me to realize that me being an heir to the throne of God, along with the rest of you, have the same authority and power in His word to execute vengeance upon the nations. That's what it says here in the Psalm. To execute it and punishment to the people. I mean, David gets real emphatic here. Now, how do you do that? Let them praise and exalt the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says here to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Now I realize that has a lot to do with what the Israelites were going through. But also, so, he's trying to show you here that those are spiritual demonic forces that we go through every day. Every one of us in here has had overwhelming issues in their life as time went by, right? I mean, you had a more overwhelming wish. Whatever it is, you've gone through it. I mean, I have had it. I've had my share. And in my 74 years of life, starting Tuesday last, that I know, he says here, well, how do I get through the hard issues of life here? What is it that I need here? It says here, let the high praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hands. All right, here's the two-edged sword. Here's the word of God. And according to the questions that are going to come to you, what Chris gave us, he says, he made it very crystal clear that put on the armor of God. When you put on the armor of God every morning, and I don't do this, and I hope you guys do it, but I got to start doing it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. There it is. It shows us how to, and he starts with the helmet of salvation, gird up your loins with truth, put on the belt of truth, I mean, but if he makes it very sure, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit, get them. The important thing is how do you get over the issue that I went through this 18 months ago? I mean, I went through what anybody would say, you're done. You got that disease, you're gonna die of it. Put up. And diabetes was knocking at my door. And so I had to execute the what's written here. I had to execute the word of God. And I grabbed a hold of Psalm 91 for all my worth. I wrote it, I set it down on my table, and I read it every morning. And I said, not me. And I executed the word of God and executed and executed and went according to my doctor's advice. The herbs that I needed to do, did the exercise that I needed to do, that I needed to do, and diabetes, it's gone. Jack Rober, you know that 6.0, that's pretty good on the scale. So I'm staying at 6.0, and I'm never going to go above 6.0. No. And I'm working hard on that. I want you to know that I'm also using the judgment written against. Because the high praises of God are in my life. I don't need to have anything. What is it? What are each one of you sitting in? Each one of you sitting in your temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. Oh, well, it's your temple. You have the authority to execute this word of God for your bodies and your souls and your spirits. Because your spirit man has been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, your spirit man is enlightened by the things of God, and because your spirit man is filled up with the power of God, it has to overcome the wiles of the soul, the flesh, the devil, heart, and everything else that's we have to deal with inside of here. Because your spirit man has to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can overcome the wiles of the flesh. And how do you do that? Executing the word of God over your person. And the more you do that, the better life gets. And I get strong. I get stronger when I do that. Because he seven times in this psalm, he uses the word let. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Anybody ever danced in their house with the power of the word coming out of your mouth? I haven't done that. I should dance in my house where the power of the word comes. Bible tells me do that. There it is right there. But the beautiful thing is, the important thing is that you have the authority to do that. It is common for people, another Spurgeon quote, common for people to be joyful over a political leader or a head of state. The visit of such a ruler is treated as a happy special occasion. Believers regard it as a special and joyful thing to recognize and enjoy the presence of their king. Well, we're having a tough time with that right now in our country. And you all know what I'm talking about. I don't even need to go there. The true splendor of kings lies not in what their people can do for them, but in what they do for their people. And herein our Lord excelleth for all the princes that ever lived. And then it says here, the next verse, let them praise his name with the dance. The joy among God's people in their creator and king was evident by dance, song, and instrumental music. They were happy expressions of gratitude and show that God approves of and encourages such happiness among his people. There's a whole bunch of quotes here. I'm not going to go into all of them, but the important thing that he's trying to say, what is there in us in which the Lord can take pleasure? Nothing, unless he has put it there. But what he has put there is the power of the Holy Spirit rule, reign, and govern in your life. He's put that there the day you accepted Jesus. It must be the reflection of his own face. Yet still the text says so, and therefore it must be true. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. God takes pleasure in you. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud in their beds. On their beds. Do you sing on your bed? I don't, but I should. Before I go to sleep every single night of my life, I make a habit of saying the Our Father. I hope you do the same. But I do the same because it gives me good sleep for the night. And I need that sleep because my body, my soul needs to quiet down. Sometimes your soul gets noisy. When you're laying there, you ever heard of a noisy soul? You're bringing all the junk from the day and you're trying to figure out this, that, and the other while you're laying there, and you're laying there to go to sleep. You're laying there to get peace of God. So the important thing is that your joy and your authority is evident in the praises that come out of your mouth. The more you praise the Lord according to this word, let the saints be joyful and glory. You know what? That's a choice, isn't it? You have to choose to be joyful. I mean, sometimes, you guys know this as well as I do. The saints are so happy in God's glory that they sing aloud on their beds. Waking hours do not give enough time to express all of their praise and joy unto God, so they must continue on their beds. Interesting, what he says here. So, true songs of praise are especially wonderful among the assembly of God's people. They should never be restricted to the assembly, and it's a sacred, wonderful thing for the saints to sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. God's people are pictured as ready for battle, equipped with two mighty weapons. Well, what are they? This? Sword of your spirit? Jesus. praises. Yeah. We don't understand how powerful praise is. The more you praise the Lord, Satan has to just flee. And then if he's still mad and he's still coming at you, which he's done to me for an awful lot the last 6 months especially. But what I have to do is quote the word of God. Get busy doing something else. Quote the word of God and say, now I got to start saying, it is written. And it's gone. It is written. The important thing is that God's word is evident. A great victory, and this is 2 Chronicles 20 and 21, a great victory was won for the people of God as they entered the battle with praise. They bear a two-edged sword in their hand, and their praise is not merely to be that of one chanting words, it is also to be in the doing of his will. While the high praises of God are in their mouth, a two-edged sword is to be in their hand with which they carry out his purposes among the peoples, the kings, and the nobles. That's a quote by Morgan. In the state of mind, the Lord will grant victory to his people as he did to Nehemiah and his men who worked with sword and trowel while praying to the Lord, believing that our God will fight for us. That's Nehemiah 4:20 if you want to know where that is. A saying among Americans came from the Second World War, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Yes, that came out of Psalm 149, verse 6. Something of that idea. The high praises of God and the two-edged sword spiritually speaks to every leader among God's people. And the whole thing is that the weapon of our warfare, this is in the question that we got this morning. You need to understand that when you say it is written, mean it. And when you say it is written, it is written, it is written, we don't use those words often enough, but Jesus does. And I'm saying that because the most important thing is to let the high praises go. Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you. By the way, you could lift your hands when you do that. So many of us are taught not, but the Bible tells us to lift your hands and praise the Lord. And the high praises with lifted hands, or if there's something special about lifting your hands before the Lord. Eh? Amen, Dan? It is very, very powerful to be able to do that because we are so filled full of the junk that we're dealing with in our soul. But if you praise the Lord and you say, God, take it all, please, in Jesus' name, just take it all so that I can focus, right, my life on you and what you're trying to tell me and where we're trying to go, what you're trying to do with my life, and just be specific with God. God wants you to be specific with it. With the high praises of God and the two-edged sword. I'm going to keep saying that over and over again because that is the gist of this whole psalm. It's to get what God is trying to say in here. Is that the high praises and the two-edged sword, this is a joy for us to have. Now, I'm going to read it again. This time I'm going to read it out of my New King James here. And he says here, I want to, especially the part here that needs to be said. Let the godly ones, start verse 5. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy in their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings in chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. Now, the last sentence is a heads up. Meditate on this last sentence. This is an honor for all his godly ones. It's an honor to be able, and I'm pausing for a purpose so that you'll get this. It is an honor to be able to count on, put your faith in, read, study, believe in, no matter what the situation is. Thanks in all things, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So the important thing is we are to get into his word because it is an honor to be able to quote God's word. What happens when you have that attitude? Here's what happens. Isaiah 55:11. A famous verse. Does anybody know it right off the top of your head? I do. Go ahead. Yeah. That's it. God's word never returns void, for it shall prosper in the thing for which it has been sent. It will not return unto him void. What does that take to work? Psalm 149. It's an honor for you to quote his word and to stand on his word, be strong in his word, because it is yours, because it was written for you, and because it's written for you. Who's behind it when you quote it, when you believe it, when you stand on it? Who's behind it? Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to lead you and guide you. That's why I thought a notebook sometimes after my prayer time, and I'll sit, sometimes it takes a whole hour just to finally get into the presence of God to the point where he's going to start talking back to me. But I want you to tell you, when you get to the point with the Lord that he will speak back to you, it will be rich. Just have now a pen in your hand, date it. I highly recommend you date. And then write down. You might fill up a whole page. So sometimes that when I'm writing down what God is telling me, actually, I almost goes to scribbly because God appreciates every second I give him down to the nanosecond. I'm not kidding. I mean, he really gets emphatic with me. And I write it down, and it just gets richer and richer and stronger until he's finally get done. And all of a sudden, it stops. It comes to an end. Just like, okay, now just ponder what I've said to you. This is the richness, guys, of the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The richness is in your personal relationship with him, so much so to the point, so much so to the depth, that you have finally come to this place where this has happened, because it is an honor. It's an honor. It's an honor to be called his. Right? You're his. Emphatically, I can't say this more often. Why? Does that give you, that gives you the authority to use his word and use it in conjunction with the Holy Spirit? The thing is, it doesn't belong to the heathen out there. I'm sorry to say it and be emphatic about it, but it is reserved for it. It says this is for his sake. This is who it's for. Once you have to get to that point, I can ask anybody who's walking down the road out there, you know, how do you feel about God's word? Oh, that's a nice book. And somebody might say, well, how are you trying to get to heaven? Well, I'll try and be good enough. And I have people who come in this all the time. I'm an evangelist. People talk to me and they say, well, I've been a good person. What else do I need to do to get to heaven? I said, you got 10 minutes. I'll go after their soul. I incurred four 17-year-olds out of the Menominee Falls County Park. And I said, I walked up to these four kids standing there. And I said, you guys all the same age? They all looked the same age. Yeah. I said, you about 17? I said, oh, yeah. Said, have you ever heard of the words? And then they paused. I said, born again. And they all four, their shoulders went up and down. No, never heard of those words. And I worked on those kids for about 10 minutes, and they all prayed to receive Jesus. The important thing is, not give him all the glory for that. The important thing is that let the high praises of God upon my mouth for his will being done. It is so emphatically important to me to be full of his will and whatever it is that he wants to do at any given moment, based upon his word. So when I can execute the vengeance on them according to what is written here, I do it in a way that will beautify. God takes pleasure in his saints, and he says here that he is very pleased with us, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Verse 4. You got to write that down, and that up next time you have a hard day, read that. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones, verse 5, let the godly ones exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy in their beds. Well, so that means when you come to the end of your day, you can sing for joy no matter what happened. What is the will of God for you? The will of God for you is to give glory and thanksgiving in all things, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, what the Bible says. That's it. I can't tell you how incredibly important it is to be into a place with God to where this word can work and continue to work in such a way that it permeates your life and goes through, because it is your full-edged sword. The victory of God's people, verses 7 through 9. Here's another quote here. execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people. What do you do with that? To execute vengeance on the nations, the power of praise and the word of God will ultimately see God's work accomplished among the nations. For those who persist in disobedience, it will be vengeance and punishments at the end of the age. Not even kings or nobles can escape the judgment to come. It's just incredibly important that we realize, guys, we're at a time now where, I mean, some of those nations out there are so full of godlessness, it's scary to see the direction they're headed in. And it's painful because they don't know their God. And they're thinking communism is the way to go. And they don't know the godlessness. For them, it's all a matter of power, all a matter of control. The power that we have, all we need is right here in this word. Okay, so that's what I have to say this morning. And I just want you all to know that it is a pleasure to be with you, because you guys are seasoned Christians. And I need your input in my life. I need you to help me as time goes on. Yeah, I'm in the Lord. Yes, Dan.
Well, I'm just thinking of the scripture. Psalm 149 deals with praise. The Lord inhabits the praise
of his people. Yes. What does that mean to you? Lord inhabits the praises of your people. Okay. And it gives you the victories that you need to get through whatever it is that concerns your life. Yes, it does. That's the important thing. Put it in my heart that I might not sin against you. Yes. Amen, Irv. And that's what it's all about. You ready to pray? Father, I lift up these brothers to you, and I thank you for their lives. Let them all be beacons of light unto them that are perishing. Let the word of God be rich and full and evident in their lives as they go through each and every one of their days. And I thank you and I praise you for being a part of Faith Walkers. We ask you to bless Greg and his leadership in it, and we could do that once in a while. Pray for him. And we're careful to give you all the praise for all the fruit that's going to come out of this. And Lord, bring us more people. I just lift up these guys. We should be bringing them in here. And I just praise and thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in here. In Jesus' name, amen.